Hey everybody, thanks for tuning into the podcast today. Today's episode is brought to you by my book. I know that's a big surprise. Available now on Amazon.com, The Toxic Masculinity Crisis. So here's how it works. You go to Amazon.com, you purchase The Toxic Masculinity Crisis by Dennis M. Brown for a mere $11.99. 3 or 4 days later, the book arrives at your home or your office or wherever you have it sent, your P.O. box, your tree fort, whatever you're sending it to. Then you read the book, you find out what masculinity is, what it's for, how to apply it to your life, and or how to encourage your son, boyfriend, husband, dad, whatever, to be a force for good in the universe. That's it. Easy. Check it out. So today we're talking about two things. Well, three things. So I want to get out of the way real quick. Today I got stuck on the phone with finance people. And I have thoughts about finance people. Number one, if you are ever speaking to somebody in the medium duty truck world, that is dump trucks, tractor trailers kind of trucks, anything like that, nobody calls a tractor, the thing that pulls the trailer, a big rig. So if you happen to be on a conference call with a whole bunch of people from that industry and you repeatedly refer to a tractor as a big rig, you don't sound smart. You do not sound like you know what you're talking about. Just so you know. So if you ever have to talk to people in the trucking world, try to avoid that urge. Your 1970s convoy song slash movie slash TV show lingo, your urge to use that lingo, try to avoid that. Also, generally, and I've seen this a number of times, if you are not a salesperson and you are talking to salespeople, telling them how to sell things makes you sound stupid. So if you are an engineer or you are accountant, or you are you're a trainer of some kind, or you're in finance and you find yourself talking to salespeople, I know deep down in your heart you think that sales is not a skill and that salespeople are just chatty, lazy golfers. Or whatever it is you think salespeople do. But it is a skill, and you don't have the experience to speak about it. So the fact that you think that you can leads you to say things that also make you sound really dumb. Like some really bright idea you have on how to sell something, having never been in sales, isn't a bright idea. And will make salesmen laugh at you. It's like going to NASA and being like, I got a new idea for a rocket. Let me tell you how to build a rocket. It's the same thing. My last thought about finance people use human psychology to fool other human beings to gleefully skip down the path to debt. That's their job. That's what they're into. It's not even just their job. They're into it. They've got all kinds of tips on neat ways you can get people to be happy about going in debt. It's pretty gross. Kind of like, it's like politics, but worse. That's it. That's all I got. So if you're in finance, don't be mad at me. I didn't mean you. I meant the other finance people. So today we got to talk about the Catholic Church, and we got to talk about this guy DeSantis in Florida. There is a political race of some kind in Florida, state level. I think it's governor. I don't really care. Like I've said before, I'm not interested in electoral politics. I'm not interested in party politics. I don't care. I don't care who the governor of Florida is. I don't care what party they're with. I don't care. I'm not interested. It's boring. It's stupid. It's the same nonsense over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You can take the Rush Limbaugh show. Rush Limbaugh, I like his voice. He's got a great radio voice. If you've never heard his show, it's probably cool to listen to it. If you've listened to it twice, you've listened to it a million times. All you have to do is take the names and change the names to the current people, and it's the same show. Because he's into electoral politics and party politics. So whatever some Democrat or liberal did today is bad, and whatever some Republican did today is good. That's the show. People eat it up. I find it boring. If you're into it, that's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't be into it. I'm just saying I'm not into it. And when I talk about an election in Florida, it's not because I have any interest in the election or the politics or the parties involved. But there's something else going on that I do have an interest in, that's culture. So the current governor, it's the governor's race. So the current governor of Florida is a guy named Rick Scott. Rick Scott was a controversial guy because prior to being governor of Florida, he was a hospital administrator. I actually lived in Florida when Rick Scott ran for governor, and everyone tried to smear him as a mean guy who tried to cut corners on care and made sick people suffer to make profits. And it didn't work. I don't really know what happened. We moved out of Florida in 2011. I think he got elected in 2010. Maybe it was earlier than that and I wasn't paying attention. The one thing I know he did that I thought was awesome was he made people on welfare take drug tests. Now, there are people who don't think that's awesome. And he might have lost that in a court challenge. I know the ACLU doesn't like that. He might have lost that in a court challenge, but I think that's a great idea. Because you know what? Why not? I don't really have a good reason to like it. Part of it is I think that if you can afford drugs, then you don't need the public's help. Part of it is I think that, you know what, if you've gotten to the point in your life that you're going to rely upon other people to support you, then you should clean your act up. That's a great time for you to clean your act up. So I think that they should do a thing where, like, if you fail the drug test, you can't get welfare, but you can get free rehab. And then get whatever program you need to be on, you can get on after that. I don't know if that's what they did or not, but whatever. Anyway, I thought it was funny. Kind of a Trump thing, you know? So that's Rick Scott. So he's now running... Oh, God, I'm gonna mess this up. I think he's running for Senate from Florida. And that might be because there's term limits in Florida. That might just be because he decided he wants to be in the Senate. I don't know which. So there's gonna be a new governor in Florida no matter what. The Republican guy is this guy named DeSantis. The Democrat guy, I don't know his name. The reason I know DeSantis' name is not because he's the Republican candidate and I'm a conservative guy. And the reason I don't know the Democrat's name is not because he's a Democrat and I'm a conservative guy. Yesterday, I didn't know either of their names. And I didn't really even pay attention to the fact that there was an election in Florida for governor. But DeSantis, I think today, if not today, yesterday, made a statement. And in the statement, he said the word monkey. And his opponent is a black man. And he's a white guy. And so the media and the social justice warriors have seized upon it as this evil act of racism. That he would dare speak the word monkey. And that clearly, that means he's a racist. Let me read you the quote. You tell me if he's a... Now, I'll say this. He might be a racist. I don't know. But there is zero evidence in the quote that he's a racist. So here's the quote. Let's build off the success we've had with Governor Scott. The last thing we need to do is monkey this up. by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases, bankrupting the state. The last thing we need to do, end quote, the last thing we need to do is monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda is not a racist statement. Monkeys, the animal, exist. They're an actual thing. They live in jungles, probably other places, mostly jungles, I think. There's monkeys in Africa. There's monkeys in South America. There's monkeys in Asia. Monkeys. There's monkeys in India. I once saw a video of monkeys in India working together as a team to raid a town like Vikings. They attacked people and broken houses and ran diversions and stole all the food. So there's monkeys in India. And monkeys have some stereotypes attached to them, which are, as far as I understand it, as follows. Monkeys are playful and silly. So when you say to your kids, quit monkeying around, you are referring to their behavior being similar to the playful behavior stereotypically attributed to monkeys. Not a racist statement. That's a use of the word monkey that is not racist. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with monkeys. And the phrase monkey this up is less common than monkey around, maybe. I don't think either one of them is super common. But to monkey something up clearly is saying, like, to mess it up. Let's not mess this up. Which is alluding to the stereotypical behavior of monkeys where they might make a mess of things or screw something up. Or break things, or steal. I don't know. I don't know what monkeys do. It's a benign statement. Let's not monkey this up by embracing a socialist agenda. Does not have anything to do with race. If you are so sensitive to past historical racist innuendo that merely hearing the term, the word monkey, offends you, I believe that you have a problem. And I don't believe the problem is racist white people. I believe the problem is your understanding of the use of language. Monkeys actually exist, like real monkeys actually exist. They actually do stuff. There's Curious George. Curious George is not an analogy for some sort of racial tensions in America. Curious George is a children's story about a monkey who's curious. Man in the yellow hat finds him in Africa, I think, somewhere in the jungle, and brings him home and gets him a red t-shirt and a baseball cap. And then the monkey goes out and causes mischief. That has nothing to do, there's no analogy there in that story, in those stories, to black people in America. It's 100% a funny story about a monkey doing funny things. Because monkeys do funny things. If you don't know about monkeys doing funny things, go on the YouTube and look up monkeys doing funny things. You will see it. They're funny. So yeah, so right away, all these different people come out, Vox, I'm sure, Huffington Post, probably, guarantee a Slate did, and a bunch of other big social media, social justice warrior social media accounts came out and said that DeSantis is racist because he said the M word and his opponent is black. Now, what that take means is that there's no acceptable use of the word monkey if you're in a political election, if you're running for office and your opponent is black. Like, could you say I went to the zoo and saw monkeys? Or would that be racist? Can you say monkeys live in Asia? Or is that racist? Like, what is the... It doesn't... It's too convenient, right? It's this bizarre electoral politics character assassination thing where, oh, the Republican is racist. Always, always. Racist Republicans and their colloquialisms. That's a word I can't say properly. So racist. Talking about monkeys. It's just ridiculous. I don't call my kids monkeys, I call them monsters, but I don't know. I don't know why I did that. I could have just as easily called them monkeys when they were little. I called them monsters when they were little, and they still do. I call them the monsters. What are you monsters up to? It could have been monkeys. They acted kind of like monkeys. They're always climbing on things and rolling around and leaving messes behind, thus fitting into the stereotypical behavior attributed to monkeys. If I had chosen to call my children monkeys, that would not be racist. It would be alluding to the stereotypical behavior attributed to monkeys. The actual creature or creatures on Earth. I want to say we cannot get up to the point where everything is racist or everything is offensive or everything, but I think we're already there. We can get there because we have gotten there. So that's where we're at. If you say the word monkey whilst inhabiting a planet that also has black people on it, you will be told that you are a racist. And that is stupid. It's no different than the Bill C-16 thing in Canada, where you get civilly penalized if you don't use the pronoun someone asks you to use, where government is enforcing language. The difference in this case is the government hasn't come out and said you're not allowed to use the word monkey, but if the recreationally outraged mob appears at every utterance of monkey, what's the difference? So now, here's where we're at. Now there's an election in Florida, and I want the Republican guy to win. And I don't know anything about him. Other than he said the word monkey, not in a context referring to his opponent or any black people, and the media, fake news, is trying to pretend that he's racist because he uttered monkey. And they're taking the quote completely out of context and saying that he said monkey up in reference to his opponent. Now, he didn't say monkey up. The quote would be monkey ... up, end quote. If you want to do that, which is what how you show that there was words in between there that you removed. That's a legit technique. You can do that. But he did not say monkey and then up. He said monkey this up. But if you're trying to pretend he's racist because of the comment, you cannot say monkey this up. And he didn't say anything about his opponent directly. He talked about a socialist agenda, which if his opponent has a socialist agenda, he clearly is referencing the fact that the opponent has a socialist agenda as being pejorative, not the color of the man's skin. Because like I said last time, or maybe it's two podcasts ago, America's not racist. Americans aren't racist. Most Americans literally don't care what color your skin is, what country you come from, what your deal is, what religion you are. Nobody cares. Until you're trying to mess up something for somebody else. And then it's not the color of your skin, the country you come from, the church you go to or don't go to that they care about. It's the fact that you're messing up things for other people. And I would include socialism in the umbrella or in the brackets of messing things up for other people. So if his opponent, whatever his name happens to be, does espouse a socialist agenda, I would agree with his assertion that that's negative and thereby fitting of the description of monkeying things up. If his opponent were Bernie Sanders, who's very not black, I would also agree that the phrase monkeying up by embracing a socialist agenda fit. Because what is monkeying it up? The agenda of socialism. Not even the person. Definitely not the color of a person's skin. So to take an insult that's demeaning to socialist ideas and a socialist agenda, and just decide he meant his opponent specifically or the color of his opponent's skin specifically, is absurd and ridiculous. And I don't know. I want to say we can't do this, but we're doing it. And I would love to say it's got to stop, but it's not going to stop. This is the world we live in. And it's ridiculous. I personally think monkeys are pretty cool. When I think of monkeys, I do not think of black people. I think of little animals with funny, nearly human faces that can hang upside down from trees by their feet because they have hands for feet instead of feet for feet. That's what I think of. Maybe that's just me. I also think of that monkey from Pirates of the Caribbean that's like the weird skeleton zombie monkey who somehow also got cursed along with the other pirates, even though he's not a person. But anyway, that's what I think of. So yeah, so now I want this guy to win in Florida, and I don't know anything about him. He could be the worst candidate ever. I wasn't a huge Rick Scott fan, to be honest with you, when he was running. Not because of the hospital administrator thing. He's just like really robotic. Didn't seem like he had any principles. He's kind of like Trump without the personality. And really the only thing I like about Trump is the personality. I would say his policies, but he doesn't really have policies. He just has whimsical things he does. So there's where we're at. This is where we're at as a country. Half the country thinks that you can't say the word monkey. And half the country thinks that saying someone can't say the word monkey is stupid. That's where we're at. Oh my goodness. All right, listen. The Catholic Church thing has gone too far. There were jokes and kind of innuendo about the Catholic Church and molestation of young people a long time ago. That started, I don't really even know when. My whole life. And then in the 90s, I think, it started coming out how bad it was, how common it was. And the investigation into certain allegations of abuse showed that the church was aware it was going on and moved priests around, which makes the church complicit in their abuse of children. So I think we've had like three popes or something since it broke, and there's kind of been some stuff they did. I don't know. They didn't really do anything. One of the priests they moved, so the Catholic Church was aware that this priest had molested children, and they moved him to a school for the deaf or the school for the blind. I don't remember which. And there, he molested, I think it was 50, a lot of children. And I personally believe that the Catholic Church should be held responsible for each and every one of those, because they're the ones who moved a known child molester to that school. To prey on children, basically. I think they should be held responsible. But they haven't been held responsible, and it's not just the U.S., right? There was a mass grave they found in a convent that acted as a orphanage in Ireland. Hundreds and hundreds of babies. There was a big one in South America. Abuse scandal and cover-up. And there's been dozens in the U.S. And then dozens more, I'm sure, that never got exposed. Whatever. So, as long as the Catholic Church is taking it seriously and as long as it seems like they're doing something proactive, like assisting prosecutors in bringing these monsters to justice, I'm kind of okay with the whole thing. I mean, I'm not okay with what happened, but I'm okay with the church saying, like, wow, we didn't know, and now we're trying to get these guys out of the church, and we're trying to prosecute them, and these are the steps we put in place to make sure it doesn't happen again. But none of that's really taken place. And a cardinal, which is, if you're not familiar with Catholicism, a cardinal is, you know, goes priest, bishop, cardinal, pope. A cardinal came out this week and said that they're focused on more important things like climate change and migration and human migration and something else. When reporters were asking him about the abuse and the cover-up by the church, and when I saw that, I pretty much decided I was done with it. The Catholic Church at this point is irredeemable. I don't know what else to say. It needs to be wiped off the face of the earth. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how you manage that. I don't know what you replace it with. Obviously, there are some wonderful priests. Obviously, there are some wonderful bishops. Obviously, there are some wonderful nuns and cardinals who want the best for their congregation and are trying to shepherd them in a life of faith. And they're doing so sincerely. I don't wish any harm to come to those people. I also know, obviously, there's a ton of wonderful Catholic, they call them lay people, but, you know, people who are attendees of the Catholic Church or members of the Catholic Church. There's some amazingly wonderful people. I don't want them to lose their church. I don't want them to lose their faith. But when the hierarchy of the church can look down at child abuse and say that climate change is a more important thing for the church to deal with than the fact that the church itself is guilty of abusing children and covering it up, is a bridge too far. It's too much, man. You don't get to molest children and get away with it. You don't get to molest children and try to cover it up. Or you don't know about somebody molesting children and try to cover it up. And you certainly don't get to molest children as an organization and then preach to the rest of the world about climate change and migration patterns and migrants in Europe and whatever. Like, really? What did Jesus say about that? First, tend to the beam in your own eye before you worry about the speck in someone else's eye. And there is a giant sexual abuse of children beam in the eye of the Catholic Church. And I don't care one bit if the children are 5 or 15. I don't care one bit if you're Matt Walsh and you think that it's not a pedophilia problem, it's a homosexuality problem. I don't care at all. This thing has been known. The fact that there are priests abusing children has been known for at least 30 years. That's how long we've known about it as the public. The Catholic Church has known even longer. And if you can't get a problem that big, that monumentous, that's destroying the lives of children, under control in 30 years, and here 30 years later, rather than being contrite and in mourning with your inability to manage this problem and to get it straightened out and to make amends for what's already been done, and instead you want to lecture me about climate change, I'm done. I'm done with it. And I'm not some mean outsider, some atheist outsider, Buddhist outsider, Protestant outsider, criticizing the Catholic Church. I was raised in the Catholic Church. Now, to be clear, I had nothing but great experiences as a kid at the Catholic Church. There were three different priests that were involved in the church we went to. All three awesome guys. Never a moment of strange behavior out of any of them that I ever saw, ever heard about, I had friends that were altar boys. Nobody ever said anything about any kind of unusual behavior at all, ever. As far as I know, all three awesome priests. All doing it for the right reasons. All committed to being faith leaders. Sincere in their desire to help people. Awesome. So I was all the way through. I was baptized. I received reconciliation and First Communion. I was confirmed all the way through. As an adult, I no longer identify as a Catholic. I no longer go to the Catholic Church. I go to a different denomination or non-denominational Christian, whatever. But that has nothing to do with it. I'm intimately aware with the structure, the hierarchy of the church, how they do things. There are other issues with the Catholic Church. For example, the fact that they have a wealth beyond all possible imagination, and they've collected it by taking it from poor people. It's pretty messed up. But I think most churches do something very similar. They're just not as big, and they haven't been around as long. But yeah, this is just, it can't go on. It can't continue. How could you, as a parent, in good conscience, take your children to the Catholic Church? Not because every priest is a child molester or a homosexual preying on adolescent men, boys, young men, whatever. But because the organization itself literally doesn't care that children were sexually abused by people that they should be able to trust. How do I know they don't care? Because they said they have bigger things to worry about, like climate change and whether or not Trump builds a wall. That's a bigger deal to the church than the sexual, mental, psychological well-being of its congregants. And that means that you suck at being a church and you should not exist. That's it. The Pope wants to make proclamation after proclamation about climate change and getting along with Muslims and go to meet with Muslims and say that they got a cool thing going on over there. I don't have a problem with any of that. But at the same time, he's got no big statement for this. Nothing to say. Unbelievable. And like I say, I don't know what it looks like. I mean, I tend to think what should happen probably is the lay people of each congregation should take over the congregation. And you should probably get rid of all the bishops and all the cardinals and the Pope. You should liquidate the assets that have to do with that, and you should disseminate it to, I don't know. I don't know what. Poor Catholics, charity, Catholic charities, whatever the case may be. But as a faith organization, you've failed. The church, the Catholic Church has failed. And like I said, not because there are priests who abuse people, because that's true of every denomination. You can't there's no denomination of Christianity or Islam or Judaism or whatever, any sect of any faith that doesn't somewhere in it have predatory behavior of malevolent people who were drawn to that because of their ability to manipulate people's trust. That's not the problem. The problem is the church covering it up for years and years and years and years, and then when they couldn't cover it up anymore, acting like it's no big deal. It is a big freaking deal. Every priest credibly accused of child abuse should at minimum be defrocked. And in my opinion, should be arrested, tried, convicted, and sent at minimum to prison forever. Although I personally think sexual abuse of a child should be capital offense. That's probably never going to happen. And the Catholic Church should not only get out of the way of the local authorities who are trying to prosecute these cases, they should assist in any way possible. They need to draw a line in the sand. If they want to continue to exist, they need to draw a line in the sand and say no more. These are the concrete steps we put in place in seminary to make sure that we weed out these people. We've done a comprehensive study of the personalities of everyone who's ever been accused of this, and here's the person, the type of person who does it, and we are going to exclude them from the ministry, and they'll never become priests. That's one. Two is we'll turn over any files we have of complaints we've received in regards to any priest abusing any child anywhere in the world to any authorities that are interested. But I don't believe they're going to do that. I don't believe that they're going to turn priests in. I don't believe that they're going to do anything about it. I believe that what the cardinal said is right. I believe the Catholic Church is more concerned about climate change and Trump's wall than they are about the fact that priests are abusing children. And that's tragic. Like I said, I grew up in a Catholic church. I grew up around great priests. My grandfather's best friend was a priest. They served in the army together. I don't know what to say. I'm sure 99% of the priests are awesome. And it's not the 1% of priests that's actually the problem. The problem is the church itself not being willing to address their own failings, their own inability to deal with this problem and manage it over the last 30 plus years. I can think of no reason for it to remain intact. This should be the final nail in the coffin of the Catholic Church. Somehow, I don't think it's going to be. Similar to the use of the word monkey, I don't think anything's going to happen. I think the Catholic Church is going to continue doing things exactly as they have been doing. I think a new generation of abusers is going to be drawn to the priesthood, and I think that they're going to abuse children. And I think when that happens, the Church is going to try to spin it instead of dealing with it and fixing it. At the end of the day, that's the sign of a good manager or good management of an organization, whether that's a company or a sports franchise or a church, is being able to recognize that there is a problem and being able to address the problem and fix it. The Catholic Church has not demonstrated the ability to do that. And I'm not willing, me personally, I'm not willing to risk any more kids. Psychological health, sexual health, physical health, in order for the Catholic Church to maintain the status quo. The upside isn't high enough to deal with that downside, because that downside is all the way to hell. It is 100% unacceptable that it's happened, that it continues to happen, that the Church has covered it up and continues to cover it up, and when they're not covering it up, they're just blowing it off like it's no big deal. The only thing left to do is burn the church to the ground. And I don't mean physically the buildings. I mean the organization. Get rid of it. Disband it. It's too big. It's shown that it's completely entrenched with old guard thinking and completely incapable of dealing with this crisis. Not only are they incapable, they've shown no will. They don't even want to deal with this crisis. They just want it to go away. It's not going away. It just keeps happening. It needs to stop. So just to recap, they're not called big rigs, they're called tractors. I know, you think a tractor is only on a farm, but you're wrong. The truck that pulls a trailer down the highway is a tractor. That's what it is. That's one. Two, the word monkey is a benign word, unless you're being a racist jerk and using it to just actually describe a black person, which I've not heard anyone do, I don't think, in my entire life. But I'm sure it's happened. Unacceptable. Any use of the term monkey to either describe monkeys or to allude to behavior stereotypically assigned to monkeys in human beings is fine. It's not racist. Do not listen to people who tell you it is racist. It's not. And the Catholic Church needs to go away. There's a scene in the movie Casino where Robert De Niro fires his slot machine pit boss. And the slot machine pit boss happens to be the son of a congressman or a state legislator or something. And that guy comes to see De Niro in his office, who's the casino manager. He says, "You can't fire my son." De Niro says, "Well, he should have seen the machines. Either he saw the machines going off and didn't do anything to stop it, or he didn't see it going off. Either he saw the machines going off and he didn't do anything to stop it because he's in on it, or he didn't see the machines going off because he's incompetent. And either way, he's fired." That's the Catholic Church. Either They know what's going on and don't care, or they don't know what's going on, and in either case, they should be fired. I literally can't imagine taking my kids to a Catholic church, even though the priest of the church that I went to is the same priest as when I was a kid, and like I said, he's awesome. Great guy. 100% would never take my kids there. Couldn't do it. I have no confidence in the church's willingness to protect children. So why would I take my kids someplace that they're not safe, that they might not be safe? And if, God forbid, the worst should happen, the organization that's supposed to have my back doesn't. How can you go there, man? Listen, I hope you all have a fantastic day. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, and we will talk to you tomorrow.